welcome to the broadcast. Today we're in 1 Thessalonians, verse number 19 of chapter 5. Have your Bible ready. There it says, quench not the Spirit. We're going to look at what that means. Stay tuned. Working our way through 1 Thessalonians, we are here at chapter 5 and verse number 19, where it says, quench not the Spirit. We want to be looking at what that's all about, but before we do, listen to this message and song, He Lifted Me.
In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me, with tender hand He lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name, He lifted. But when I took Him at His word, forgive me, lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, His hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me, with tender hand He lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name, He lifted me.
Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, we have a little verse that's only four words long. It says, quench not the Spirit. Now, when we're going to study the Word of God, when it talks about quenching not the Spirit, we need to understand that God is a Trinity. He said, let us make men in our image. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's talking here about the third part of the Trinity, as it referred to, the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't say quench not the Father. It doesn't say quench not the Son. It says quench not the Spirit. Now again, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, we read, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, that's what they did. God is a Trinity, and so are we. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we usually quote it the other way around, body, soul, and spirit. No, not in the Word of God. We get a lot of things backwards from the Word of God. But it says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the difference in the spirit, the soul, and the body? Well, we know what the body is. That's not hard to figure out. We have hands and feet, and we actually live in the body. So the soul and the spirit are somewhere in the body. It's not something that is, I remember when I was a little boy, my mother would talk about the soul. And I remember thinking about that, and I'd say, well, is that another little part in my body, like a kidney or something like that? Where's that soul? Sometimes years later, we still haven't got that figured out. We're going to look at it today and see if we can figure it out. He said concerning the person in the world, that every person that's created or comes into this world, he or she is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit is come, Jesus said, and he sent him after he went back to heaven after he was crucified, Jesus said, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. And so he, that's very important. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person in the Trinity. We don't have as much problem thinking about Jesus as a person because we have the whole New Testament that talks about him being here in this world and taking on the form of a person as we know it. But a person is a person whether he has a body or not. And so we read here that the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as an influence. He is not an influence any more than you are an influence. You are a person, and sometimes you go out and you influence people, be it for good or for bad. The Holy Spirit influences people. That's what he does. That is not what he is. And so he only obviously influences for what is right. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. Now, when a person receives Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to live within. And once the Holy Spirit comes and lives within the person who is a Christian, then we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian or a person who has received Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, it speaks of the Spirit of God that dwells in you and goes on to say, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within. In Romans 8, 9 through 11, we read, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so the person who is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within, and the saved person will be influenced by the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, we are also going to be influenced by the old nature and by the things of this world. We've mentioned before, once we get saved, we have two natures. We have the old nature and we have the new nature. And whichever nature we let be in control or allow to be in control, that's the nature that's going to win over the other nature. So the Holy Spirit lives within. And the world is influencing us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the Bible talks about, and the Holy Spirit is influencing us. It all comes down to who we're going to listen to. Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, Paul said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul said, I'm fighting this battle all the time. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. How can I have the victory? And he goes on in that portion of Scripture to tell how to have the victory. In Ephesians 4:22-24, he says, put off concerning the former conversation. That's an old English word that actually doesn't mean just talking. It means manner of life. Put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, that's the old nature, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, that's the new nature, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we have the old nature trying to get us to go one direction, we have the new nature trying to go the other direction, and whichever nature we feed, that's the nature that is going to have the victory from day to day. And so as Christians, when we first become a Christian, the first thing we seem to get into line with the Word of God is the body. Again, remember, we are a body, soul, and spirit. And the Word of God says, I would your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. So the Christian, with his body controlled by the Holy Spirit, that is from day to day, we say, all right, you don't want me to do this with my body, I won't do it. And whether that's drinking booze, smoking cigarettes, immorality, and you name it, it can be just taking that body somewhere where God does not want it to go. It can be listening to some kind of music that God doesn't want us to listen to. But when the Christian decides, all right, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have control, the first thing we do is we usually figure, well, that has to do with the body. But we still have the self-life, or what is called the soul, and that is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so a Christian may have victory over the sins of the body and yet refuse to let the Holy Spirit control his mind, his will, and his emotions. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse number 24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Now the self-life is the what we call the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so what evidence do we have if we are still controlled by the self-life rather than by the Holy Spirit? Well, that's where it comes down to our verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, that says, quench not the Spirit concerning the self-life. The self-life means that either we're going to let the Holy Spirit have control, or we're going to have self-control, or self-will. Self-will is obstinately doing what I want to do in spite of what God wants me to do. Obstinately means stubbornly refusing to change my chosen course of action despite attempts of the Holy Spirit to persuade me to change my course of action. And so that's how we quench the Holy Spirit. Now, on this point, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together to guide us into all truth. The Bible and the Holy Spirit are always in total harmony. You can't just go running off with a fuzzy feeling saying, oh, this is what God wants me to do. It's not what He wants you to do unless it lines up with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together to get us to change our self-will to His will. However, we are free will agents and we can choose to do what we want to do. So self-will is quenching the Holy Spirit. Self-will is simply rejecting God's will and following my own desires for my life. Rejecting, the dictionary says, rejecting is dismissing as something as inadequate, inappropriate, or not to my taste. Well, if the things of God are not to our taste, there's one of two problems. You've never been born again in the first place, or you're very sick spiritually, and we need to get in line with the Word of God. Well, once we come to the place as Christians where we say, all right, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have control of my body, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have control of my mind, my will, and my emotions, which is my soul. What about the spirit life? The world is still going to try and influence us in the area of the spirit, and our spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness with our spirit. And so once again, we have to determine that we're going to let the Holy Spirit have control in all three areas. Now, the person who determines, all right, I am going to be that kind of a Christian where the Holy Spirit can have control of everything, then that person says, well, the Bible says about him, he's not quenching the Spirit, but John 7, verse 38 says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so if the Holy Spirit is in control, we are living what the Bible calls the resurrected life. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
You have longed for sweet peace, and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest, or be perfectly blessed, until all on the altar is laid. Is your all sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Thank you. and tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.